Joshua chapter 2. Looking forward to studying this together, coming together and studying the Jordan River rules, but even more importantly, studying God's Word, and this chapter in particular. It's been a while since I had studied this chapter and enjoyed studying that out and the details involved here. Haven't the last few days been beautiful? The last 3 days after the rainy weekend and all the rain we got, it's just been beautiful, perfect days here that the Lord has given to us, and it's just great to see His faithfulness and to enjoy the beautiful sunshine. Joshua chapter 2. Let's begin here. Let's read first verse 1 as we get started here. Joshua 2 verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. It's interesting as we read the Bible. It's easy to read over familiar stories and just kind of, okay, yeah, we read it. But you think about the drama that is taking place right here. Joshua here is sending 2 spies out on a top secret mission. You think about that. Think about how exciting that is. On a dangerous mission. Crossing the Jordan, entering into Jericho, and spying it out and bringing back a report. You think about this. You know, we live in Washington, D.C. We are probably living in one of the spy capitals of the world, right? I mean, you think about places in the world where there are spies. We are right here, folks. And so you think about this. I think we can understand this a little bit as we consider this. We moved from the state of Indiana. Who ever thought of spies in the state of Indiana? I mean, maybe you spy on your neighbors to see what they're doing. You know, maybe what kind of corn are you planting this year? I mean, that's about as serious as it gets in Indiana. But we move here, and before long, I have these folks in our Sunday school class in the Secret Service. I have parents in school in the Secret Service. And they're describing what they do. And some of you know, and you're involved with this type of work. I mean, hey, some of them traveled with the president. And they would go before the president would arrive and they'd check everything out. And they say, everywhere we go, our rooms are bugged. They just know it. And some of them went ahead and spied on the people who were checking everything out for the president. They were the next layer. They were just watching to see who else is watching. You know, just making things as safe as possible. You think about this, all the area around us and all the details involved. So it's a little different story than back in Indiana. And you think about this, you know, back in Indiana, it's neighbor helping neighbor. After you talk to these guys, you start looking around and you don't trust anyone, right? I mean, if you were a spy, what would your tactic be? You know, if you were sent to this area, maybe you'd try to blend into a church somewhere. So you try to just blend in with the people. I mean, it starts to really make you think about things. And then you don't trust anyone, right? It's just a different way of thinking. This was quite a mission these guys were sent on. All of a sudden, it's like, you know, you just read through verse 1, but you start to think about it. Wow, being a spy, how cool. We have a museum in our city here about spies, right? The Spy Museum. It's amazing, all the different tactics. You know, one of the wars, I think it was this, was it back in the Civil War? They hung out different things on the laundry line as messages they were sending through the whole spy network. It's really interesting to study this stuff. So Joshua calls these men. Now it's interesting, the last time they sent spies into the land of Canaan there, they sent 12 spies. It's interesting, this time Joshua only sends 2 spies. And this time it clearly says it's a secret mission to send them secretly into the promised land. So, okay, 12 was too many opinions. Let's go with 2 this time, right? So anyway, he sends these guys into the promised land. Now think about this. I just want to read one paragraph here from our book. It says, "The young men crept out of the camp as stealthily as leopards. They were Israeli spies, lean, fit, and smart. Fording the Jordan, They saw before them the towering walls of Jericho. The gates were open, and streams of people and donkeys and camels and children and wagons were coming and going like a never-ending parade. The spies missed nothing. The guards, the fortifications, the reinforcements. They joined the crowds, merging in, entering the city, looking for a place where visiting men wouldn't be out of place. A prostitute's house. And guided by providence, it was Rahab's house the spies entered. Can't you just picture this as they're sneaking their way into the city? Picture the adrenaline at the time. Trying to mingle in, trying to fit in with the crowds. You know, the purpose of their visit, just like when Joshua sent spies before, they're supposed to check out the land, check out the people, check out the cities, check out the area, check out the morale of the people. So they had a specific purpose that they were sent for. But even more importantly, God had a much greater purpose for them. And it's interesting, it included an encounter with a sinful woman whom God in His grace purposed to spare from the coming judgment upon the city. You see, God had a far greater purpose than just the spies checking out the land. The spies were divinely led to Rahab's house. Picture entering the city. I mean, outside the city, they could see what was happening. They could see the doors open. They could see the crowds coming and going throughout the day, the commerce taking place. But once in the city, this is new territory as they enter the city of Jericho. And they look around and they may follow the crowd and they duck into this house and it just happens to be the house of Rahab. Although we understand God had a greater plan, it didn't just happen to be her house. You know, God divinely directs our steps. And, you know, I have my plan often, or my purpose, my mission. But you know what? God can change that and bring different encounters. And that's what happens here with this harlot, Rahab. They end up in the house of this harlot, a place where strangers or men may go. But you know what? We find out their disguise wasn't so successful. Because look with me what happens here. Verse 2, "And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house. For they be come to search out all the country." Hey, they were found out. And the king sends these messengers to her house. You think about this, we're in trouble now. Okay, these spies. Rahab has a choice. This is a defining moment. This is a harlot. I mean, you know, morals, ethics. You know, she should probably turn them over to the king, right? But notice what happens. Verse 4, "And the woman took the two men and hid them. And said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. And whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. You know, she could have exposed them, but instead she chose to lie and to protect them. And I know we can get into a big debate. Should she have lied? Let me tell you, Rahab had bigger problems than just lying, right? But the bottom line was, they encountered Rahab. It was part of God's divine plan. And what is the lesson? What is the Jordan River rule tonight here? Find someone to help along the way. You know, there are people around us every day. Divine appointments. People that we cross paths with, we're all going to cross the paths of different people. And yet God ordains these appointments. And sometimes our paths can cross for just a few seconds, sometimes longer time. But you know what? It can start with a smile or a simple word of kindness. There are people around us every day who are hurting. You know, God may have a divine appointment for you here this evening, maybe with a brother in Christ, someone who needs encouragement, someone who just needs someone to pray with them, someone who just needs to unload. But God organizes these meetings. Who would have imagined that a prostitute and two top secret Israeli spies during a dangerous military mission would exchange acts of kindness that would change history? Not only for Israel, but also for this prostitute, for Rahab. This harlot of Canaan became a proselyte to the God of Israel. You talk about God working and moving in mysterious ways, this is it. Who would have imagined God was working in her life? You know, you see someone like Rahab, I'm sure she had a hard look to her countenance because of her lifestyle, because of her sin. And yet God was working in her life. How many times do we see people and think, oh, you know, that person, maybe that relative. Oh, God, you know, maybe this person will get saved, but that person, I don't see any hope for him. You know what? We never know who God's working in. You know, maybe it's someone you encounter on the street. Maybe, you know, someone who looks rough. I think of the story in Acts, the lewd fellows of the baser sort. I mean, what a description there. There are rough characters out there, but God can save them. You think about this. You think about Rahab. You think about the Apostle Paul, who was Saul, who was killing Christians. And even when he got converted, a lot of the disciples didn't trust him and didn't believe him there in Acts 9, thinking he was probably just faking so he could kill them. But God supernaturally saved him, and he supernaturally saves this harlot. You know, don't be deceived by appearances. God was working. I remember one thing Dr. Calvert said a while back that stuck with me. He said, be searching for souls in whom God is working. You know, a lot of times we can witness to folks and someone may not respond, but hey, don't give up. Keep fishing. Keep ministering. Because God is working in folks' lives. And it may surprise you, the opportunities you have. You may have a neighbor who's rough. You may have, like I said, a relative. It's interesting, probably one of the gruffest people I know, I recently had an encounter with them. I mean, they've been rude. They've been gruff. I mean, I get to see this person every once in a while. They're just kind of a nasty guy. And the last time I saw them, it's like, wow, I don't know what's happening there, but I got a total different side of things. A side I did not know existed. It's like, God, what are you doing here? Not the most likely person I would think to come to Christ, but it's like, okay. Hey, maybe God's working in this life. And it shows my lack of faith. But now, hey, I've started praying for this person. Hey, God, bring this person to you. God is working. Are we looking for someone to help today? Is our life about ministry? Is my life about ministry, or is it just about my mission, living out my own plans? Find someone to help along the way. You want to see proof of God's working? Well, we see that in the next few verses. Look with me at the second thing. First of all, we see the top secret mission. But secondly, a remarkable conversation follows. Notice this. So she hides them under the flax on a roof. Now they would soak the flax, they would set it out to dry, and they would use that for linen then, eventually, for cloth. And yet, as she was hiding them under this, once the men left, look what takes place here in verse 8. And before they were laid down, she came up under them upon the roof. So picture this. The men are up there hiding under the roof. She comes up there. It's dark out now. She's probably talking kind of quietly at this point. I mean, you don't want everyone to hear this. And what does she say? Look at this in verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land. That's not the first thing I would expect out of her mouth. You think about that. That is shocking. I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. What a conversation! It's interesting how God knows what we need at the time. And these spies, in coming to the city of Jericho, this is what they needed to hear. And God provided it right there through the mouth of a harlot. The victory is sure. She was telling them, you know, they may have doubted at that point. And yet Rahab was already stating the battle was as good as over. She also stated that the Canaanites were utterly demoralized. They had heard what God had done. Remember Sihon, he was the king that the children of Israel asked, can we pass through your land? Hey, we won't hurt anything. And he says no, and he comes out to war with them. Numbers chapter 21, and Israel utterly destroys them. And then they come to battle against Og in the second part of that chapter. Israel utterly destroys them. Now they're coming to cross the Red Sea. They're encamped over there. And these folks in Jericho see them. And they are next in line. Picture the situation here. It doesn't stop there though. Look with me here in verse 11. It gets even better. Look in verse 11, the end of the verse. Look at her profession here. Verse 11. I'll read the whole verse here. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Notice her profession here of faith in God, in our God, in the true God. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. These are the words of Rahab, this harlot. She is professing faith in the true God. Are these just words she's saying? No, if you hold your finger here, flip over with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Do you know that Rahab is mentioned 3 times in the New Testament? Look with me in Hebrews chapter 11. You think about this, the great Hall of Faith chapter. Hebrews 11, look with me, verse 31. It says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. Flip over with me to James chapter 2, just a couple pages more in your Bible there, I'm sure. James 2 and verse 25. James 2:25. Notice this. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Of course, this great chapter stating the importance of our works to justify us in the sight of men and our faith that justifies us in the sight of God. Talking about Abraham there as well. You see, her faith was genuine. She was a convert here. And so as we think about this, as we flip back here to Joshua chapter 1, I just want to encourage us, you know what? God knows exactly what we need. And when we need it, isn't that a comforting thought here this evening? You think about these spies on this important mission, just going to explore, and this is what God provides them, the exact answer they need. Now think about us. I don't know what your need is this evening. I don't know what your need is this week. But think about this. It may be guidance. Aren't you thankful God gives us clear guidance over issues? I need guidance over issues. I think of Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Hey, you need guidance? Let's look to the Lord. He can provide that. Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. I love these verses. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Okay, if someone's going to guide us with their eye, we've got to be looking at them. Teachers are great at this. They're great at guiding students with their eye. You know, a student who's misbehaving. You know, everyone tends, when a student's doing something wrong in study hall, it's kind of a, there's a pattern there. Okay? Someone does something wrong, makes a noise. Everyone looks around except for that student. What does that student do? They look down like they're intensely busy. And then what do? They look down, and then they look back over their shoulder. And all a teacher has to do is look at them and give them the look. You know what I'm talking about? Remember that look from your mom? And you give them that look, and they know. You can guide them with your eye. You know what? God guides us, He says, with His eye. But we've got to be looking at Him. Notice this. He'll instruct thee, He'll teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. He'll guide us with His eye. But He says, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Hey, don't be stubborn like a horse or mule who wants to do their own thing. Hey, God will guide us. Let's be looking to Him. If it's guidance we need. You know what? Other times, God knows we need wisdom. I need wisdom all the time. Are there situations where you don't know what to do? Hey, any parent, I think, has situations like that, especially if you have teenagers, right? Maybe it's decision at work. Maybe it's decision at home with your family. Aren't you thankful for James 1? Hey, if any man lack wisdom, James 1, 5. If you lack wisdom, that's you, that's me. Let us ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Do you know God will give wisdom when we need it? He can meet our every need. You know, maybe it's provision. Maybe, you know, times are tight. Inflation is hitting us hard. Maybe the funds are short. I think of Philippians, these folks that are faithful, faithful serving the Lord, faithful in giving. What does Paul tell them? But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hey, the Creator of the universe, it's nothing to Him. He can provide. Let's look to Him. Let's be, Matthew 6, let's be busy about God's business and He'll take care of our business. He promises. You know, maybe it's rebuke we need. Aren't you thankful even for God's rebuke? I don't like to be rebuked. But we need it sometimes. Hebrews 12, 6, for whom the Lord loves, He chastens, scourgeth every son. Maybe it's encouragement. Maybe it's an opportunity. Just the Lord knows what we need. Maybe it's a reminder about something. Aren't you thankful God knows what we need? God knew exactly what these spies needed to hear for their faith to be strengthened. And He provided it through the mouth of this heathen woman who trusted God as her Savior here. So we see a remarkable conversation. But look at the third thing. Look with me in verse 12. A deal is struck. The third thing here, verse 12. They strike a deal. Notice this. Now therefore I pray you, she says, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house. And give me a true token. And that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. Now I'm kind of loud during this, but I'll bet they're speaking kind of quietly. Picture this in the darkness on the rooftop. I'll bet they're in hushed volume here. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that He will deal kindly and truly with thee. So they strike this deal. You know, it's interesting. Rahab here fears for her family. They had heard what Israel had done, and they knew that they were next in line here. The Israelites were on the other side of the Jordan. What a horrible place to be in. And yet, what a wonderful place to be. Because you think about what is taking place here. She came to the point of realization that she was in line for destruction and that there was nothing they could do in and of themselves. They had heard what had happened to these other nations. They could not stand against God. They were in desperate need of help. And she cries out to these men for help. Folks, this is where everyone in the world is at some point in time. And hope we come to this realization. Indefinite line of destruction, of judgment. Yet many people do not even know or understand the situation they're in. You know, we can be one breath, one heartbeat from eternity. And what happens after we pass from this earth? Well, we're gonna stand before Christ one way or another. And that's similar here to the situation. This is the cry that God longs to hear. What loving God or Creator would not love to hear His creation make this plea? Help us. Let's make a deal here. And that's what Rahab is crying out to these men for. My family. And it's interesting here. Look with me in verse 15. Here's the solution. Then she let them down by a cord through the window. For her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. Behold, when we come back into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, if you tell anyone about us, then we will be quit of thine oath, we will be free of the oath which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Can't you picture this conversation taking place as they are tying this line, and they're getting ready to descend out of the window? And this quick conversation takes place. Hey, they're dealing back and forth there. But notice the fourth point here, a crimson cord is cast. This cord was used to save the lives of these spies. What would have happened if these spies had been caught? What if they had to go out her door, her front door, and try to get outside the door of the city? They probably would have been caught and killed. And yet she just so happened to have this crimson cord. And she used this cord to let the spies out, to help them escape. And this crimson cord was to be a sign to the Israelites to save her family. But here was the stipulation. They had to be in the house at the time. If they weren't, their blood was upon their own hands. This was the word. You know, it's interesting. If we cut ourselves, we bleed. And it's interesting, the results of that blood. You know, shaving never fails. When you're in a hurry, or you're running last minute, you got to be somewhere, you're shaving, that's the time I cut myself, right? And, you try to get it stopped, put a Band-Aid on it, or put a Kleenex on it, or whatever, and you got to get dressed, get out the door, think you got it stopped, you're all set, you're driving, get to work, you look in the mirror, and sure enough, got blood on the collar, right? stain on the collar. You know, one along the same lines, one of my favorite places to visit in Washington, D.C., one of my favorite tourist places, I love Ford's Theater. I don't know if you've been to Ford's Theater. It's an interesting place to go, even watch the Ranger talk there about the day Lincoln was shot. Very interesting place to visit. They have an incredible museum down there. You think about it, the events that took place over 150 years ago, but you go in the museum, they have the gun there with which Lincoln was shot, because Wilkes Booth threw it off to the side when he jumped down there after shooting him. They have the clothes that Lincoln was wearing. You think about that, over 150 years ago, and they have those on display there. They have a pillow, the pillow that was at the Peterson House across the road where they carried Lincoln over and laid him on the bed there. And they have the pillow, the blood-stained pillow upon which his head rested. And you can see the blood, you know, it's kind of faint there nowadays, but over 150 years ago, that pillow, that stained pillow is still there. It's really an interesting place. You need to go there and visit sometime. But you think about it. If we bleed and I get blood on my shirt or something or on a pillow or something, it leaves a stain. But you know what? The blood of Jesus Christ, you think about this, the blood that He shed, He cleanses rather than stains. You think of the stain of my sin, and yet the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses. His supernatural power of the blood of Christ. You think about what a wonderful truth, what a wonderful difference. This crimson cord was the key to life for these Israelites, the key to life for Rahab's house. It was a symbol there. It was the only way they could escape the judgment. But the stipulations had to be followed. And you know, oh, how true this is for us as well. And I don't know who all is watching online this evening under the sound of God's Word here this evening. But you know what? The blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse every sin. It doesn't matter how bad of a sinner we are. His blood is so powerful. His blood can cleanse a harlot. His blood can cleanse a murderer like Saul. His blood can cleanse a liar. You think about it, an adulterer. There is no sin that is too great. And yet, just like there were stipulations for these people, there are stipulations for us. You know, many times people say, I'll work harder. I'll be as nice as I can. I'll attend church. I'll give money to church. Although humanly speaking or thinking, we think that we have to do to be right with God. God says in Titus 3:5, it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy that He saves us. He says in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, but it's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any of us boast. One of my favorite passages in Romans chapter 3, verses 20 through 22, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And it goes on to say there in verse 22, even by faith in Jesus Christ, in His shed blood. You have to believe, you have to place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and His blood can cleanse us from all sin. His blood is the medicine that cures us from everlasting ill. His blood is the ointment that heals our deepest scars. It is the elixir for joy. It is the lotion for peace. It is the fountain of life. Rahab believed and professed her faith to the saving of her family. You know, it's interesting. Rahab's mentioned one other place in the New Testament. Anyone know where that place is? Anyone? Bible scholars? What was that? Excellent. Very good. Matthew chapter 1. Flip over there with me. Matthew chapter 1, really quickly. Matthew chapter 1. A plus for Haley there this evening. Good job. Matthew chapter 1. It's interesting, the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting, in this genealogy, there are four ladies referred to. Notice with me, Matthew chapter 1. Tamar is mentioned there in verse 3. She is the first lady. It's interesting, Tamar was a harlot. In verse 5, notice this. And Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab. And Boaz begot Obed of Ruth. And Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begat David, the king. And David begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And then it continues on. It's interesting, these ladies that are mentioned. And Rahab is one of the ladies mentioned here in verse 5. Look at this. God took a harlot from a heathen nation and God used her to help with these spies in the nation of Israel. But later, she went on to marry this man named Salmon. Now, I don't know. Could he have been one of the spies? Who knows? He could have been. We don't know that. But God placed her as a family of the nation of Israel here after they save her. And not only that, you look at that, she is a great grandmother, or she is the mother-in-law of Ruth, first of all, and then I'm not sure exactly, great-great-grandmother of David. You think about that. And being in the lineage of Christ, that's incredible. The grace of God in taking her and placing her in this family. You think about this, the wonderful grace of Jesus. Flip back with me, back to Joshua chapter 2. Let's finish up here. The last thing here is verses 22 through 24, and that is this, a mission accomplished. Notice this, and they went and came unto the mountain and abode there 3 days, the spies that is, until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but they found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all the things that befell them. And look at verse 24. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all this land. For even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. A totally different story than Numbers 13. You know, this time the spies came back with a whole different report. They said, we're ready to go forward by faith. Hey, these folks are fainting because of us. Hey, sure, the challenges were still there, but the lessons had been learned, and the Lord had guided them on the mission that was before them. You know, as we finish up, we can think about this evening. You know, what a cool story. Story of spies entering the promised land. God's protection. God bringing them to the house of Rahab. Not by chance, but for a specific purpose. And you know, it's easy to look at a story like this and we go away, oh, that was a nice story, a nice little study. But let's not just be hearers of the word this evening. Let's be doers. You know, what does God have for us this evening? You know, you may be here and you're saved and you say, yeah, that's great about the crimson line and praise the Lord, I'm saved through His blood, my sins are forgiven. But you know what? What kind of life are we leading? I don't feel that God's calling me to be a spy. I mean, I'll be honest about that. But I do believe God wants me to be looking for those around me to minister to. You know, life is not just about my plans, it's about ministering for the Lord on a daily basis. You know, this evening as we come to church, are we looking to minister for the Lord? You know, you can even come to church without the thought of ministry. Are we looking to minister? There are folks here this evening, I'm sure, that need ministered too, that need some encouragement or just a kind smile, an encouraging word. You know, my life should be about ministry. What about tomorrow morning as I get up and we go different directions to work or at home or wherever, whatever you have planned tomorrow? no matter our age. You know what? God wants to use us. Is my life about ministry tomorrow? You say, well, yours ought to be. You're a principal of a Christian school. You know, it doesn't matter if I am principal of a Christian school or if I'm mowing yards or whatever I do. My life should be about ministry. I have a higher calling through the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we looking for those around us to minister to? Second thought, are we looking to the Lord and trusting in Him to meet our needs? Isn't it incredible the message these spies got through the mouth of Rahab? That was what they needed. That was really the key to their mission. The acknowledgement of Rahab of the fear of the people and the true God. Their faith was strengthened. You know, I'm not sure what you're facing today. Are you trying to figure it out on your own? You know, too many times I'm guilty of that. You want to fix problems on your own. But hey, let's look to the Lord. If we need wisdom, if we need strength, if we need encouragement, if we need whatever we need, let's look to Him. Are we trusting in Him this evening? Third thought, are we trusting in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and His life-changing grace? Do you know I cannot save anyone? And you cannot save anyone? Take the pressure off ourselves. A lot of times we put the pressure on ourselves, but we can share the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Let God do the work. My job is just to be the messenger. Hey, as we look to those around us, who do we see the power of the blood of Christ? Are we looking at people, oh, the Lord could never save that person. Yes, yes, He could. Let's not think that way. We don't know whose life God is working in. Let's place our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the blood of Christ. And finally, the last thing, let's move forward by faith. Hey, when God calls us to something, He's going to do it. I think of 1 Thessalonians 5:24, a verse that's been such an encouragement to me. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. You know, I like to sit back and be comfortable, right? But when God pricks my heart and convicts me, hey, it's time to move forward in this area. Maybe God's calling you to a different area of ministry. Maybe you've been serving as an usher and God wants you to teach a Sunday school class or teach junior church. You know, it can be a fearful thing to take that step. But faithful is He who calleth you, who also will do it. And let's keep moving forward by faith. You know, we live in such a blessed society. I don't think any of us are starving for food. You know, we have more clothes than we need. I mean, right? We're giving clothes away to Goodwill because we have too many clothes. You think about it, do we really have to walk by faith? We can fall into the trap of just living a comfortable life and not seeking the Lord and walking by faith on a daily basis and moving forward by faith. And yet I believe if we're breathing, if we're living, God wants us to keep trusting Him and keep moving forward. And that's what this whole journey is about. Hey, it's time for them to move forward to the promised land and they're preparing and it's going to happen here soon. Let's keep moving forward by faith. Good study here this evening. Well, I have some good news for you too. Pastor will be back next week, Lord willing. And so thank you for your patience there and listening and studying with me. But I know it'll be good to get Pastor back next week. If he asks you questions, please answer them correctly. I don't want him to think I didn't do a good job here, right? I won't quiz you this evening. But I hope it's been a blessing and encouragement. And let's go forward by faith and let's be doers of the Word here this week. All right? Let's close in prayer and we will go here. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for how we see how You've worked in times past. And Lord, how You led this huge nation of Israel to this point and how You allowed them to wander in the wilderness for these 40 years. And yet even there we see Your goodness. You took care of them. You fed them. Their shoes did not wear out. You brought them to this point. An exciting time for Israel as they are ready to enter the promised land. And Lord, even how we see Your faithfulness and Your working in small details, even in the lives of these spies. And Lord, we thank You for how You brought Rahab into the family of God. And You saved her family from sure destruction. And Lord, you want to save people tonight from sure destruction because of their sin. And Lord, I pray that folks would turn to you if they are burdened over their sin, they see their need of their sin. Lord, I pray that they would place their faith and trust in you and that you would open eyes to their need for you. Lord, use us as believers this week. Help us to be faithful in the opportunities you give us. Help us to be faithful in trusting you no matter what our trial is. Lord, just use us. May we represent you well. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Have a great night.